Well, whoever snitched probably did it.
Where is it?
The guard points to the gym floor, where someone spray-painted a very poor replica of the Latino blood symbol.
Can you explain this?
No, I say. Another security guard joins us.
We should check his locker, he says.
Great idea.
All they'll find is a leather jacket and books. I'm turning the combination lock when Mrs. B passes us.
What's the problem?
She asks them.
Vandalism on the basketball court.
I open my locker and stand back to let them inspect it.
Aha!
The security guy says, reaching inside and pulling out a can of black spray paint from the top shelf. He holds it out to me.
Are you still going to plead innocent?
I'm being set up.
I turn to Mrs. B, who's looking at me like I killed her cat.
I didn't do it,
I tell her.
Mrs. B, you've got to believe me.
I can see me now, being hauled to jail because of something an idiot did. She shakes her head.
Alex, the evidence is right there. I want to believe you, but it's really hard.
The officers are on either side of me, and I know what's coming next. Mrs. B holds up her hand, stopping them.
Alex, help me.
I'm tempted not to explain, to let them all think I was the one who defaced school property. They probably won't listen anyway. But Mrs. B is looking at me like a teenage rebel who wants to prove everyone wrong.
The symbol is all wrong, I tell her.
I show her my forearm.
This is the Latino blood symbol. It's a 5-point star with 2 pitchforks coming out the top and LB in the middle. The one on the floor had a 6-point star with 2 arrows. Nobody in the blood would make that mistake.
She says to the officers,
Where's Dr. Aguirre?
In a meeting with the superintendent. His secretary said he doesn't want to be disturbed.
Peterson checks her watch.
I've got a class in 15 minutes. Joe, radio Dr. Aguirre on your walkie-talkie.
Joe, the security guy, isn't too happy.
Ma'am, this is the sort of thing we were hired for.
I know, but Alex is my student, and believe me when I say he can't miss class today.
Joe shrugs, then radios for Dr. Aguirre to meet him in L Hall. When his secretary asks if it's an emergency, Mrs. P takes the walkie-talkie from Joe and says she's considering it her personal emergency and Dr. Aguirre should get down to L Hall right away. 2 minutes later, Aguirre, with a stern look on his face, comes into view.
What's this all about?
Vandalism in the gym,
Officer Joe informs him. Aguirre stiffens.
Damn it, Fuentes, not you again.
I didn't do it, I tell him.
Then who did?
I shrug.
Dr. Aguirre, he's telling the truth,
Peterson says.
You can fire me if I'm wrong.
He shakes his head, then turns to the security guy.
Get Chuck to the gym and see what he can do to clean that stuff off.
He points the spray paint can at me.
But I warn you, Alex, if I find out it was you, you'll be not only suspended but arrested. Got it?
When the officers leave, Aguirre says,
Alex, I didn't tell you this before, but I'm telling you now. I thought the world was my enemy when I was in high school. I wasn't that much different than you, you know. It took me a damn long time to learn that I was my own enemy. When I realized that, I turned my life around. Mrs. Peterson and I, we're not the enemy.
I know that, I say, and actually believe it's the truth.
Good. Now I happen to be in the middle of an important meeting. If you'll excuse me, I'll be in my office.
Thanks for believing me, I say to Mrs. P once he's gone.
Do you know who vandalized the gym?
She asks. I look her straight in the eye and tell her the truth.
I've got no idea.
I'm pretty confident it's not one of my friends. She sighs.
If you weren't in a gang, Alex, you wouldn't get yourself into these messes.
Yeah, but I'd be in other ones.
Brittany. It looks like some of you don't think my class is important, Mrs. Peterson says. She starts handing out the test from yesterday. As Mrs. Peterson heads toward my and Alex's shared table, I sink down in my chair. The last thing I need is Mrs. Peterson's wrath. Nice job, the woman says as she places my paper face down in front of me. Then the woman turns to Alex. For someone who aspires to be a chemistry teacher, you're off to a very poor start, Mr. Fuentes. Maybe I'll think twice about sticking up for you if you don't come prepared to my class. She drops Alex's test in front of him with her index finger and thumb, as if the paper is too disgusting to touch with the rest of her fingers. See me after class, she tells him, before passing out the rest of the tests. I can't understand why Mrs. Peterson didn't rip me a new one. I turn my paper over to find an A on the top of it. I rub my palms over my eyes to readjust them. There must be some mistake. It takes me less than a second to realize who was responsible for my grade. The truth hits me like a hammer to my gut. I look over at Alex, tucking his flunk test into his book. Why did you do it? I wait until Mrs. Peterson finishes her after-class discussion with Alex before approaching him. I'm standing beside his locker where he's paying little, if any, attention to me. I'm ignoring the stares burning into the back of my head. I don't know what you're talking about, he says. Duh. You switched our tests. Alex slams his locker shut. Listen, it was no big deal. Yes, it is. He walks away as if expecting me to leave it at that. I'd watched him work diligently on his test, but when I glanced at the big red F on the front of his paper, I recognized my own test. After school, I hurry out the front doors to catch him. He's on his motorcycle getting ready to leave. Alex, wait! Feeling fidgety, I curl my hair behind my ears. Hop on, he orders. What? Hop on. If you want to thank me for saving your ass in Mrs. P's class, come home with me. I wasn't kidding yesterday. You showed me a glimpse into your life. I'm going to show you a glimpse of mine. It's only fair, right?
I scan the parking lot. Some people are looking our way, probably ready to spread the gossip that I'm talking to Alex. If I actually leave with him, rumors will fly. The sound of Alex revving his motorcycle brings my attention back to him.
Don't be afraid of what they think.
I take in the sight of him, from his ripped jeans and leather jacket to the red and black bandana he just tied on top of his head, his gang colors. I should be terrified. Then I remember how he was with Shelley yesterday. To hell with it. I shift my book bag around to my back and straddle his motorcycle.
Hold on tight,
he says, pulling my hands around his waist. The simple feel of his strong hands resting on top of mine is intensely intimate. I wonder if he's feeling these emotions too, but dismiss the thought. Alex Fuentes is a hard guy, experienced. The mere touch of hands isn't going to make his stomach flutter. He deliberately brushes the tips of his fingers over mine before reaching for the handlebars. Oh, my God, what am I getting myself into? As we speed away from the school parking lot, I grab Alex's rock-hard abs tighter. The speed of the motorcycle scares me. I feel lightheaded, like I'm riding a roller coaster with no lap bar. The motorcycle stops at a red light. I lean back. I hear him chuckle when he guns the engine once more as the light turns green. I clutch his waist and bury my face in his back. When he finally stops and puts the kickstand down, I survey my surroundings. I've never been on his street. The homes are so small. Most are one level. A cat can't fit in the space between them. As hard as I try to fight it, sorrow settles in the pit of my stomach. My house is at least 7, maybe 8 or 9 times Alex's home size. I know this side of town is poor, but...
This was a mistake, Alex says. I'll take you home.
Why?
Among other things, the look of disgust on your face.
I'm not disgusted. I guess I feel sorry.
Don't ever pity me, he warns. I'm poor, but not homeless.
Then are you going to invite me in? The guys across the street are gawking at the white girl.
Actually, around here, you're a snow girl.
I hate snow, I say. His lips quirk up into a grin.
Not for the weather, querida. For your snow-white skin. Just follow me and don't stare at the neighbors, even if they stare at you.
I sense his wariness as he leads me inside.
Well, this is it,
he says, motioning inside. The living room might be smaller than any room in my house, but it feels warm and cozy. There are two Afghans lying on the sofa I'd love to have on top of me on cold nights. We don't have any Afghans at my house. We have comforters, custom-designed ones, to match the decor. I walk around Alex's house, gliding my fingers over the furniture. A shelf with half-melted candles sits below a picture of a handsome man. I feel Alex's warmth as he stands behind me. "Your dad?" I ask. He nods. I can't begin to imagine what it would be like to lose my dad. Even though he's not around much, I know he's a permanent fixture in my life. I always want more out of my parents. Should I feel lucky just having them around? Alex studies the picture of his dad.
At the time, you're numb and try to block it out. I mean, you know he's gone and all, but it's like you're in this fog. Then life kind of gets into a routine and you follow it.
He shrugs.
Eventually you stop thinking about it so much and move on. There's no other choice.
It's kind of like a test. I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror on the opposite wall. I absently run my fingers through my hair.
You're always doing that.
Doing what?
Fixing your hair or makeup.
So what's wrong with trying to look good?
Nothing, unless it becomes an obsession.
I put my hands down, wishing I could superglue them to my sides. I'm not obsessed! He shrugs.
Is it so important that people think you're beautiful?
I don't care what people think.
I lie. 'Cause you are. Beautiful, I mean. But it shouldn't matter so much.
I know that, but expectations mean a lot where I come from. Speaking of expectations, what did Mrs. Peterson say to you after class?
Oh, the usual. That if I don't take her class seriously, she'll make my life miserable.
I swallow, not knowing if I should reveal my plan. I'm going to tell her you switched the tests.
Don't do that,
he says, stepping away from me.
Why not? Because it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. You need good grades to get into...
What? A good college? Give me a fucking break. I'm not going to college, and you know it. You rich kids worry about your GPA as if it's a symbol of your worth. I don't need it, so don't do me any favors. I'll get by with a C in that class. Just make sure those hand warmers kick ass.
If I have anything to do about it, we'll get an A+ on the project. Where's your room? I ask, changing the subject. I drop my book bag on the living room floor. A bedroom tells a lot about a person. He gestures to a doorway off to one side. Three beds take up most of the small space, with enough room for one small dresser. I walk around the small room.
I share it with my two brothers, he states. Not a lot of privacy here.
Let me guess which bed is yours, I say, smiling. I scan the areas around each bed. A small picture of a pretty Hispanic girl is taped to one wall. I murmur, glancing at Alex and wondering if the girl staring back at me is his ideal. I slowly walk around him and examine the next bed. Pictures of soccer players are taped above it. The bed is messy, and clothes are strewn from the pillow to the foot of the bed. Nothing adorns the wall by the third bed, as if the person who sleeps here is a visitor. It's almost sad. The first two walls saying so much about the people who sleep below them, and this one, totally bare. I sit on Alex's bed, the hopeless and empty one, and my eyes meet his. Your bed says a lot about you.
Yeah? What does it say?
I wonder why you don't think you'll stay here long. I say, unless it's because you really do want to go to college. He leans on the doorframe.
I'm not leaving Fairfield. Ever.
Don't you want a degree?
Now you sound like the damn career counselor at school.
You don't want to get away and start living your own life? Away from your past?
You see going to college as an escape, he says.
Escape? Alex, you have no clue. I'm going to a college that's close to my sister. First it was Northwestern, now it's the University of Colorado. My life is dictated by the whims of my parents and where they want to send my sister. You want the easy way out, so you stay here.
You think it's a breeze being the man of the house? Shit. Making sure my mama doesn't get mixed up with some loser, or that my brothers don't start shooting shit up their arms or smoking crack is enough to keep me here.
I'm sorry.
I warned you never to pity me.
No, I say, my eyes moving up to meet his. You feel such a family connection, yet you don't place anything permanent beside your bed, as if you're going to leave at any moment. I feel sorry for you about that. He steps back, shutting me out.
You done with the psychoanalysis, he says.
I follow him into the family room, still wondering what Alex wants for his future. It seems the guy is ready to leave this house, or this earth. Could it be in some way Alex is preparing for his death by not placing anything permanent beside him? That he's destined to end up like his father? Is that what he meant by his demons? For the next 2 hours, we sit on his family room couch and hatch a plan for our hand warmers. He's a lot smarter than I'd realized. That A on his test wasn't a fluke. He has a lot of ideas about how we can research online and get information from the library on how to construct the hand warmers and various uses for them to incorporate into our paper. We need the chemicals Mrs. Peterson will provide, Ziploc bags to enclose the chemicals, and to get extra brownie points, we've decided to encase the Ziploc bags in material we'll pick out at the fabric store. I purposely keep the discussion on chemistry, careful not to touch on any subject too personal. As I close my chemistry book, out of the corner of my eye, I see Alex run his hand through his hair.
Listen, I didn't mean to be rude to you before.
That's okay. I got too nosy.
You're right.
I stand, feeling uncomfortable. He grabs my arm and urges me back down.
No, he says. I mean, you're right about me. I don't place anything permanent here.
Why?
My dad,
Alex says, staring at the picture on the opposite wall. He squeezes his eyes shut.
God, there was so much blood.
He opens his eyes and captures my gaze.
If there's one thing I learned, it's that nobody is here forever. You have to live for the moment, each and every day. The here, the now.
And what do you want right now? Right now, I itch to heal his wounds and forget my own. He touches my cheek with the tips of his fingers. My breath hitches. Do you want to kiss me, Alex? I whisper.
Dios mío, I want to kiss you. To taste your lips, your tongue.
He gently traces my lips with the tips of his fingers.
Do you want me to kiss you? Nobody else would know but the two of us.
Alex. Brittany's tongue snakes out to wet her perfect heart-shaped lips, which are now shiny and, oh, so inviting. Don't tease me like that, I groan, my lips inches from hers. Her books hit the carpet. Her eyes follow, but if I lose her attention, I may never get this moment back. My fingers move to her chin, gently urging her to look at me. She looks up at me with those vulnerable eyes.
What if it means something? She asks. What if it does? Promise me it won't mean anything.
I lean my head back on the couch. It won't mean anything. Aren't I supposed to be the guy in this scenario? Laying down the no commitment rules?
And no tongue,
she adds.
Mi vida, if I kiss you, I guarantee there's going to be tongue.
She hesitates. I promise it won't mean anything. I assure her again. I really don't expect her to do it. I think she's teasing me, testing to see how much I can take before I crack. But as her eyelids close and she leans closer, I realize it's going to happen. This girl of my dreams, this girl who is more like me than anyone I've ever met, wants to kiss me. I take over control as soon as she tilts her head. Our lips touch for the briefest moment before I lace my fingers in her hair and keep kissing her soft and gentle. I cup her cheek in my palm, feeling her baby soft skin against my rough fingers. My body urges me to take advantage of the situation, but my brain, the one inside my head, keeps me in check. A satisfied sigh escapes Brittany's mouth, as if she's content to stay in my arms forever. I brush the tip of my tongue against her lips, enticing her to open her mouth. She tentatively meets my tongue with her own. Our mouths and tongues mingle in a slow, erotic dance, until the sound of the front door opening makes her jerk away. Damn, I'm pissed off. First for losing myself in Brittany's kiss. Second, for wanting that moment to last forever. Last, I'm pissed at Miama and my brothers for coming home at the most awful time. I watch Brittany, trying to look busy, as she bends down and picks up her books. My mother and brothers are standing in the doorway, with their eyes bugged out. Hey, Ma, I say, more flustered than I should be. From the stern look on Miama's face, I know she's not pleased at catching us making out like there was a promise of more to come.
Luis and Carlos, go to your bedroom,
she orders, stepping into the room and composing herself.
Aren't you going to introduce me to your friend Alejandro?
Brittany stands, book in hand.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
Even with her sun-kissed hair mussed from my fingers and the motorcycle ride, she's still kick-ass beautiful. Brittany extends her hand in greeting.
Alex and I were studying chemistry.
What I saw wasn't studying,
my ma says, ignoring her hand. Brittany winces. Mama, leave her alone, I say roughly.
My home is not a whorehouse.
Por favor, mama, I say, exasperated.
We were only kissing. Kissing leads to making niños, Alejandro.
Let's get out of here, I say, totally embarrassed. I whip my jacket off the couch and shrug into it.
I'm sorry if I disrespected you in any way, Mrs. Fuentes,
Brittany says, visibly upset. My mother takes the groceries she's carrying, ignoring the apology as she walks into the kitchen. When we're outside, I hear Brittany take a deep breath. I swear it sounds as if she's holding herself together by a thin thread. Not the way it's supposed to go down. Bring girl home, kiss girl, mom insults girl, girl leaves crying. Don't sweat it. She's just not used to me bringing girls in the house. Brittany's expressive blue eyes appear remote and cold.
That shouldn't have happened, she says, throwing back her shoulders in a stance as stiff as a statue's.
What, the kiss or are you liking it so much?
I have a boyfriend,
she says as she fidgets with the strap on her designer book bag.
You're trying to convince me or yourself?
I ask her.
Don't turn this around. I don't want to upset my friends. I don't want to upset my mom. And Colin, I'm just really confused right now.
I hold out my hands and raise my voice, something I usually avoid because, like Paco says, it means I actually care. I don't care. Why should I? My mind says to shut the fuck up at the same time words spot from my mouth.
I don't get it. He treats you like you're his damn prize.
You don't even know what it's like with me and Colin.
Tell me, damn it,
I say, unable to hide the edge to my voice. Initially, I hold myself back from what I really want to say, but I can't resist and tell it to her straight up.
Because that kiss back there, it meant something. You know it as well as I do. I dare you to tell me being with Colin is better than that.
She looks away hastily.
You wouldn't understand.
Try me.
When people see Colin and me together, they comment on how perfect we are. You know, the golden couple, get it?
I stare at her in disbelief. That is beyond fucked up.
I get it. I just can't believe I'm hearing it. Does being perfect mean that much to you?
There's a long, brittle silence. I catch a flicker of sadness in those sapphire eyes. But then it's gone. In an instant, her expression stills and grows serious.
I haven't been doing a bang-up job at it lately, but
Yes, it does, she finally admits. My sister isn't perfect, so I have to be.
That is the most pathetic shit I've ever heard. I shake my head in disgust and point to Julio. Get on and I'll take you back to school to get your car. Silently, Brittany straddles my motorcycle. She holds herself so far away from me I can barely feel her behind me. I almost take a detour to make the ride last longer. She treats her sister with patience and adoration. God knows I wouldn't be able to spoon-feed one of my brothers and wipe his mouth. The girl I once accused of being self-absorbed is not one-dimensional. Dios mío, I admire her. Somehow being with Brittany brings something to my life that's missing, something right. But how am I going to convince her of that?
Brittany. I'm going to forget the kiss with Alex happened, even though I was up all night replaying it in my head. As I'm driving to school the day after the kiss that never happened, I wonder if I should ignore Alex, although that's not an option because we have chemistry together. Oh, no. Chemistry class. Will Colin suspect something? Maybe someone saw us drive off together yesterday and told him. Last night I turned off my cell so I didn't have to talk to anyone. Oh, I wish my life wasn't so complicated. I have a boyfriend. Okay, so my boyfriend's been acting pushy lately, interested only in sex, and I'm sick of it. But Alex as my boyfriend would never work. His mom already hates me. His ex-girlfriend wants to kill me, another bad sign. He even smokes, which is totally not cool. I could make a huge list of all the negatives. Okay, so there might be some positives. A few minor ones too insignificant to mention. He's smart. He has eyes so expressive they give a hint to more than what he portrays. He's dedicated to his friends, family, and even his motorcycle. He touched me as if I were made of glass. He kissed me as if he'd savor it for the rest of his life. The first time I see him is during lunch. As I'm waiting in the cafeteria food line, Alex is two people in front of me. This girl, Nola Lynn, is in between us, and she's not moving down the line fast enough. Alex's jeans are faded and torn at the knee. His hair is falling into his eyes, and I'm itching to push it back. If Nola wouldn't be so wishy-washy about her choice of fruit... Alex caught me checking him out. I quickly focus my attention on the soup of the day. Minestrone. Want a cup or bowl, hon? Mary, the lunch lady, asks me. Bowl, I say, pretending to be totally interested in the way she ladles the soup into the bowl. After she hands it to me, I hurry past Nola and stand by the cashier, right behind Alex. As if he knows I'm stalking him, he turns around. His eyes pierce mine, and for a moment I feel as if the rest of the world is closed out and it's just the two of us. The urge to jump into his arms and feel the warmth of them surrounding me is so powerful. I wonder if it's medically possible to be addicted to another human being. I clear my throat. Your turn, I say, motioning to the cashier. He moves forward with his tray, a slice of pizza on it. I'll pay for hers, too, he says, pointing to me. The cashier waves her finger at me. What'd you get, bowl of minestrone? Yeah, but, Alex, don't pay for me. Don't worry, I can afford a bowl of soup, he says defensively, handing over $3. Colin barges into the line and stands next to me. Move along. Get your own girlfriend to stare at, he snaps at Alex, then shoos him off. I pray Alex doesn't retaliate by telling Colin we kissed. Everyone in line is watching us. I can feel their stares on the back of my neck. Alex takes his change from the cashier and without a backward glance heads for the outside courtyard off the cafeteria where he usually sits. I feel so selfish because I want the best of both worlds. I want to keep the image I've worked so hard to create, the image that includes Colin. I also want Alex. I can't stop thinking about having him hold me again and kiss me until I'm breathless. Colin says to the cashier, I'll pay for hers and mine. The cashier looks at me in confusion. Didn't that other boy pay for you already? Colin waits for me to correct her. When I don't, he gives me a disgusted look and stomps out of the cafeteria. Colin, wait! I say, but he either can't hear me or is ignoring me. The next time I see him is in chemistry class, but Colin walks in just as the bell rings, so we don't talk. During chemistry, it's another experiment observation. Alex swirls test tubes full of silver nitrate and potassium chloride liquids.
Looks like they're both water to me, Mrs. P., Alex says.
Looks are deceiving, Mrs. Peterson replies. My gaze travels to Alex's hands. Those hands that are now busy measuring the right amount of silver nitrate and potassium chloride are the same ones that traced my lips intimately.
Earth to Brittany.
I blink my eyes, snapping out of my daydream. Alex is holding a test tube full of clear liquid out to me, which reminds me I should help him pour the liquids together. Sorry. I pick up one test tube and pour it into the tube he's holding.
We're supposed to write down what happens, he says, using a stirring rod to mix the chemicals together.
A white solid magically appears inside the clear liquid.
Hey, Mrs. P., I think we've found the answer to our problems for the ozone layer depletion, Alex teases.
Mrs. Peterson shakes her head.
So, what do we observe in the tube?
He asks me, reading off of the sheet Mrs. Peterson handed out at the start of class.
I'd say the watery liquid is probably potassium nitrate now, and the white solid mass is silver chloride. What's your assumption?
As he hands me the tube, our fingers brush against each other and linger. It leaves a tingling sensation I can't ignore. I glance up. Our eyes meet, and for a minute I think he's trying to send me a private message. But his expression turns dark, and he looks away. What do you want me to do? I whisper.
You're going to have to figure that one out yourself.
Alex? But he won't tell me what to do. I guess I'm a bitch to even ask him for advice when he can't possibly be unbiased. When I'm close to Alex, I feel excitement, the way I used to feel on Christmas morning. As much as I've tried to ignore it, I look over at Colin and know. I know our relationship isn't what it used to be. It's over. And the sooner I break it off with Colin, the sooner I can stop wondering why I'm still with him. I meet Colin after school by the back door to the school. He's dressed for football practice. Unfortunately, Shane is standing next to him. Shane holds up his cell.
You two want to do a repeat performance of the other night? I can capture the moment forever and email it to you. It'd be a great screensaver, or better yet, a YouTube video.
Shane, get the fuck out of my sight before I lose it, Colin says, then gives Shane a stare until he leaves.
Britt, where were you last night?
When I don't answer, Colin says,
You can save your breath, 'cause I already have a clue.
This isn't going to be easy. I now know why people break up in emails and text messages. Doing it face-to-face is so hard, because you have to stand in front of the person and witness their reaction, face their wrath. I've spent so much time avoiding arguments and smoothing relationships with the people around me. This confrontation is painful. You and I both know this isn't working, I say as gently as I can. Colin narrows his eyes at me.
What are you saying?
We need a break.
A break? Or a break up?
Break up, I say gently.
This is because of Fuentes, isn't it?
Since you came back from summer break, our entire relationship is about fooling around. We never talk anymore, and I'm sick of feeling guilty for not ripping my clothes off and spreading my legs to prove I love you.
You don't want to prove anything to me.
I keep my voice low so other students can't hear me.
Why would you want me to?
Just the fact that you need me to prove I love you is probably a clue it isn't working.
Don't do this,
He tosses his head back and moans. Please don't do this. We filled the football star slash pom-pom captain stereotypical box everyone put us in. For years we fit the mold. Now we're going to be under a microscope for the breakup, with rumors swirling around us. Just the thought of it makes my skin crawl. But I can't pretend it's working anymore. The decision will probably haunt me. If my parents can send my sister away because it's good for them, and Darlene can fool around with every guy she comes in contact with because it makes her feel better, why can't I do what's right for me? I put my hand on Colin's shoulder, trying not to focus on his watering eyes. He shrugs my hand off. Say something, I urge. What do you want me to say, Brett? That I'm thrilled you're breaking up with me? Sorry, but I'm not feeling it. He wipes his eyes with his palms. It makes me want to cry, too, and my eyes start tearing. It's the end of something we thought was real, but ended up being just another one of the roles we were thrust into. That's what makes me so sad. Not the breakup, but what our relationship stood for. My weakness. I had sex with Mia, he blurts out. This summer. You know, that girl in the picture? You're saying that to hurt me. I'm saying it because it's the truth. Ask Shane. Then why did you come back here and pretend we were still the golden couple? Because that's what everyone expected, even you. Don't deny it. His words sting, but they're the truth. Now I'm done playing the perfect girl and living by everyone else's rules, including my own. It's time I start getting real. The first thing I do after Colin and I part is tell Miss Small I need to take time off from Palms. It feels like a weight is lifted off my shoulders. I go home, spend time with Shelley, and do homework. After dinner, I call Isabel Avila. I should be surprised you're calling me, but I'm not, she says. How was practice? Not great. Darlene isn't a great captain, and Miss Small knows it. You shouldn't quit. I'm not. I'm just taking a break for a little while. But I didn't call to talk about Palms. Listen, I wanted you to know I broke up with Colin today.
And you're telling me because...
That's a good question. One I normally wouldn't have answered. I wanted to talk with someone about it. And I know I have friends who I can call, but... I kind of wanted to go to someone who wouldn't gossip about it. My friends have big mouths. Sierra is the one person I'm closest to. But I lied to her about Alex. And her boyfriend, Doug, is best friends with Colin.
How do you know I won't blab? Isabel asks.
I don't. But you didn't tell me stuff about Alex when I asked, so I figure you're good at keeping secrets.
I am. So shoot.
I don't know how to say this.
I haven't got all day, you know.
I kissed Alex, I blurt out.
Alex? Bendita! Was that before or after the Colin breakup?
I wince. I didn't plan it. Isabel laughs so hard and loud I have to take the phone away from my ear.
You sure he didn't plan it?
She asks, once she can get words out.
It just happened. We were at his house, and then we were interrupted when his mom came home and saw us.
What? His ma saw you guys? In his house? Bendita!
She goes off in Spanish, and I have no clue what the hell she's saying.
I don't speak Spanish, Isabel. Help me out here.
Oh, sorry. Carmen is going to shit a brick when she finds out.
I clear my throat.
I won't tell her,
Isabel is quick to say.
But Alex's mom is one tough woman. When Alex dated Carmen, he kept her far away from his mama. Don't get me wrong, she loves her sons. But she's overprotective, just like most Mexican mothers. Did she kick you out?
No. But she pretty much called me a whore.
more laughing from the other end of the line. It wasn't funny.
I'm sorry. More laughing. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when she walked in on you two.
Thanks for your compassion, I say dryly. I'm hanging up now.
No, I'm sorry for laughing. It's just that the more we talk, the more I see you as a totally different person than I thought you were. I guess I can understand why Alex likes you.
Thanks, I think. Remember when I told you I wouldn't let anything happen between me and Alex?
Yeah. Just so I get my timetable straight, that was before you kissed him. Right?
She chuckles, then says,
I'm just kidding, Brittany. If you like him, girl, go for it. But be careful, because even if I think he likes you more than he'll admit, you should keep your guard up.
I won't stop it if something happens between me and Alex. But don't worry. I always have my guard up.
Me too.
Well, except for the night you slept at my house. I kind of fooled around with Paco. I can't tell my friends, 'cause they'd give me shit.
Do you like him?
I don't know. I never thought about him that way before, but being with him was kinda nice.
How was the kiss with Alex?
Nice, I say, thinking about how sensual it was. Actually, Isabel, it was more than nice. It was fucking incredible! Isabel starts laughing. And I laugh right along with her this time.
Thirty-four. Alex. Brittany flew out of school today, following Burro Face. Before I left, I saw them together in an intimate conversation by the back field. She picked him over me, which really shouldn't surprise me. When she asked me in chemistry what she should do, I should have told her to dump that pendejo. Then I'd be happy instead of pissed off. Es un cabrón de mierda. He doesn't deserve her. Okay, so I don't either. After school, I hung out at the warehouse to see if I could get information about my dad. It was no use, though. The guys who knew mi papá back then didn't have much to say except he never stopped talking about his sons. All conversations stopped when the Satin Hood sprayed the warehouse with gunfire. A sign they're out for revenge and won't stop until they get it. I don't know if I should be thankful or worried that the warehouse is in a secluded back lot behind the old railroad station. Nobody knows we're here, not even the cops. Especially not the cops. I'm resistant to the pop, pop, pop of gunfire. In the warehouse, at the park. I expect it. Some streets are safer than others, but here, in the warehouse, rivals know it's our sacred turf. And they expect retaliation. It's the culture. You disrespect our turf, we disrespect yours. Nobody was hurt this time, so it's not retaliation against a killing. But there will be retaliation. They expect us to come. And we won't disappoint them. On my side of town, the circle of life is dependent on the circle of violence. Taking the long way home after it's all clear, I find myself driving past Brittany's house. I can't help it. As soon as I cross the tracks, a cop car stops me. And two uniformed guys step out. Instead of informing me why I'm being pulled over, one of the cops orders me off my motorcycle and asks me for my license. I hand it to him. Why am I being pulled over? The guy who has my license examines it, then says, You can ask questions after I ask mine. You have any drugs in your possession, Alejandro? No, sir. Any weapons? The other officer asks. There's a slight hesitation before I tell the truth. Yes. One cop takes the gun out of his holster and points it at my chest. The other one tells me to keep my hands up, then orders me to lie on the ground while he calls for backup. Fuck, I'm busted, big time. What kind of weapon? Be specific. I wince before saying, A Glock 9mm. Thankfully, I gave Will the Beretta back, or I'd be caught double-strapped. My answer makes the cop a little nervous, and his trigger finger shakes a bit. Where is it? On my left leg. Don't move. I'm going to disarm you. If you stay still, you won't get hurt. After he removes my gun, the second cop puts on rubber gloves and says to me in an authoritative voice Mrs. P would be proud of, You have any needles on you, Alejandro? No, sir, I say. He knees my back and handcuffs me.
Get up, he orders, hauling me to my feet, and makes me lean over the hood of the car. I feel humiliated as the guy pats me down. Shit, as much as I knew getting arrested was inevitable, I'm not ready for it. He shows me my gun. You can assume this is why we pulled you over. Alejandro Fuentes, you have the right to remain silent, one of the officers recites. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. The holding cell smells like piss and smoke. Or maybe the guys who are unlucky enough to be locked in this cage with me are the ones who smell like piss and smoke. Either way, I can't wait to get the hell out of here. Who am I going to call to bail me out? Paco doesn't have any money. Enrique put all his money into the auto shop. My mother will kill me if she finds out I was arrested. I lean my back against the iron bars of the cell, thinking, even though it's close to impossible in this stinking place. The police call it a holding cell, but it's just a glorified way of saying cage. Thank Dios, it's the first time I've been here. And damn it, I pray it's my last. Lo juro. That thought is disturbing because I've always known I've sacrificed my life for my brothers. Why would it matter if I'm locked up for the rest of my life? Because deep down I don't want this life. I want my mother to be proud of me for being something other than a gang member. I want a future to be proud of. And I desperately want Brittany to think I'm one of the good guys. I bang the back of my head against the steel bars, but the thoughts won't go away. I've seen you around Fairfield High. I go there, says a short white guy, about my age. The dork is wearing a coral-colored golf shirt and white pants, as if he came from a golf tournament with a bunch of senior citizens. White guy tries to look cool, but with that coral shirt, man, looking cool is the least of his problems. The guy might as well have another rich kid from the north side tattooed on his forehead. What you in for? White guy asks, as if it's an ordinary question between two ordinary people on an ordinary day. Carrying a concealed weapon. Knife or gun? I shoot him a glare. Does it fucking matter? I'm just trying to make conversation, white guy says. Are all white people like this, talking to hear what their voice sounds like? What are you in for? I ask. White guy sighs. My dad called the cops and told them I stole his car. I roll my eyes. Your old man put you in this hellhole? On purpose? He thought it would teach me a lesson. Yeah, I say. The lesson is that your old man's an asshole. The dad should have taught his son how to dress better instead. My mom will bail me out. You sure? White guy straightens. She's a lawyer, and my dad's done this before, a few times. I think to piss off my mom and get her attention. They're divorced. I shake my head. White people. It's true, white guy says. I'm sure it is. Fuentes, you can make your call now. The cop on the other side of the bars barks out. Mierda. With all of white guys blabbering, I still haven't decided who to call to bail me out. It hits me like that big fat red F on my chemistry exam. There's only one person with the money and means to get me out of this mess. Hector. The head of the blood. I've never called in a favor from Hector. Because you never knew when Hector would call in a favor of his own. And if I owe Hector, I owe more than money. Sometimes in life there are no desirable choices. 3 hours later, after a judge lectures me until my ears almost bleed, then sets my bail, Hector picks me up from the courthouse. He's a powerful man, with slicked back hair darker than my own, and a look about him that says he takes no shit. I have a lot of respect for Hector because he's the guy who initiated me into the Latino blood. He grew up in the same town as my dad, had known him since they were kids. Hector kept an eye out for me and my family after my dad died. He taught me new phrases like second generation and sprouted words like legacy. I'll never forget it. Hector thumps me on the back as we walk into the parking lot. You got Judge Garrett. He's a tough son of a bitch. You're lucky the bail wasn't higher. I nod, wanting nothing more than to go home. When we're driving away from the courthouse, I say, I'll pay you back, Hector. Don't worry about it, man, Hector says. Brothers help each other out. To tell you the truth, I was surprised it was your first time getting arrested. You stay cleaner than anyone in the blood. I stare out the window of Hector's car, the streets as calm and dark as Lake Michigan. You're a smart kid, smart enough to move up in the blood, Hector says. I would die for some of the guys in the Latino blood, but to move up? Selling drugs and guns are a few of the illegal dealings going on at the top. I like it where I am, riding the dangerous wave without actually plunging headfirst into the water. I should be happy Hector is contemplating giving me more responsibility in the LB. Brittany and all she stands for is a fantasy.
Think about it,
Hector says as he pulls up to my house.
I will. Thanks for bailing me out, man,
I say.
Here, take this.
Hector pulls a pistol out from under his car seat.
El policía confisca de yours.
I hesitate, remembering when the police asked me if I had any weapons on me. Dios mío, it was humiliating having a gun pointed at my chest as they removed the Glock. But refusing Hector's gun would be considered disrespectful, and I'd never diss Hector. I take the gun and stick it in the waistband of my jeans.
I heard you've been asking questions about your papa. My advice is to let it go, Alex.
I can't. You know that.
Well, if you find anything out, let me know. I always have your back.
I know. Thanks, man. It's quiet in the house. I walk into my bedroom, where both of my brothers are sleeping. Opening my top drawer, I bury the gun under the wooden board, where nobody can accidentally find it. It's a trick Paco taught me. I lie on my bed and cover my eyes with my forearm, hoping I can get some sleep tonight. Yesterday flashes before my eyes. The image of Brittany, her lips on mine, her sweet breath mixed with my own, is the only picture that lingers in my mind. As I drift off, her angelic face is the only image that keeps the nightmare of my past away.
Thirty-five, Brittany. Rumors are flying furiously through Fairfield that Alex got arrested. I have to find out if it's true. I find Isabel between first and second period. She's talking with a bunch of her friends, but leaves them and pulls me aside. She tells me Alex was arrested yesterday but made bail. She has no clue where he is, but she'll ask around and meet me between third and fourth period at my locker. I hurry to my locker between third and fourth, craning my neck in anticipation. Isabel is waiting for me. "Don't tell anyone I gave this to you," she says, and slips me a folded sheet of paper. Pretending to look in my locker, I unfold it. It has an address on it. I've never ditched school before. Of course, a boy I kissed has never been arrested before, either. This is about me being real. To myself. And now I'm going to be real to Alex, like he's always wanted. It's scary. And I'm not convinced I'm doing the right thing. But I can't ignore this magnetic pull that Alex has over me. I plug in the address on my GPS. It leads me to the south side, to a place called Enrique's Auto Body. A guy is standing in front. His mouth drops open the minute he sees me. "I'm looking for Alex Fuentes." The guy doesn't answer. "Is he here?" I ask, feeling awkward. Maybe he doesn't speak English.
"What do you want with Alejandro?"
the guy finally asks. My heart is pumping so hard I can see my shirt move with each beat. I need to talk to him.
"He'll be better off if you leave him alone," the guy says. "Está bien, Enrique,"
a familiar voice booms. I turn to Alex, leaning against the auto body's front door with a shop towel hanging out of his pocket and a wrench in his hand. The hair peeking out of his bandana is mussed, and he looks more masculine than any guy I've ever seen. I want to hold him. I need him to tell me it's okay, that he's not going to jail ever again. Alex keeps his eyes fixed on mine.
"I guess I'll leave you two alone,"
I think I hear Enrique say, but I'm too focused on Alex to hear clearly. My feet are glued to the same spot, so it's a good thing he saunters toward me. I start. "Please let me get through this. I heard you got arrested. I had to see if you're okay."
"You ditched school to see if I was okay?"
I nod, because my tongue won't work. Alex steps back.
"Well then, now that you've seen I'm okay, go back to school. I gotta, you know, get back to work. My bike was impounded last night, and I need to make money to get it back."
"Wait!" I yell. I take a deep breath. This is it. I'm gonna spill my guts. I don't know why or when I started falling for you, Alex, but I did. Ever since I almost ran over your motorcycle that first day of school, I haven't been able to stop thinking about what it would be like if you and I got together. And that kiss. God, I swear I never experienced anything like that in my life. It did mean something. If the solar system didn't tilt then, it never will. I know it's crazy because we're so different, and if anything happens between us, I don't want people at school to know. Not that you'll agree to have a secret relationship with me, but I at least have to find out if it's possible. I broke up with Colin, who I had a very public relationship with, and I'm ready for something private. Private and real. I know I'm babbling like an idiot, but if you don't say something sooner, give me a hint of what you're thinking, then I'll...
Say it again, he says.
That whole drawn-out speech? I remember something about a solar system, but I'm too light-headed to recite the entire thing all over again. He steps closer.
No, the part about you falling for me.
My eyes cling to his. I think about you all the time, Alex, and I really, really want to kiss you again. The sides of his mouth turn up. Unable to face him, I look at the ground. Don't make fun of me. I can take anything but that right now.
Don't turn away from me, mamacita. I'd never make fun of you.
I didn't want to like you, I admit, looking back up at him.
I know.
This probably won't work, I tell him.
Probably not.
My home life's not so perfect.
That makes two of us, he says.
I'm willing to find out what this thing is going on between us. Are you?
If we weren't outside, he says, I'd show you.
I cut him off by grabbing the thick hair at the base of his neck and pulling that gorgeous head of his down. If we can't exactly have privacy right now, I'll settle for being real. Besides, everyone who we need to keep this a secret from is in school. Alex keeps his hands at his side, but when I part my lips, he groans against my mouth and his wrench drops to the ground with a loud clink. His strong hands wrap around me, making me feel protected. His velvet tongue mingles with mine, creating an unfamiliar melting sensation deep within my body. This is more than making out. It's... well, it feels like a lot more. His hands never stop moving. One circles my back while the other plays with my hair. Alex isn't the only one exploring. My hands are roving all over him, feeling his muscles tense beneath my hands and heightening my awareness of him. I touch his jaw, and the roughness of a day's growth scratches my skin. A loud clearing of Enrique's throat tears us apart. Alex looks at me with intense passion.
I have to get back to work,
he says, his breathing ragged. Oh, well, sure. Suddenly embarrassed at our PDA, I step back.
Can I see you later today?
He asks. My friend Sierra's coming over for dinner.
The one who looks in her purse a lot?
Yeah. I need to change the subject or I'll be tempted to invite him too. I can see it all now. My mom seething in disgust at Alex and his tattoos.
My cousin Elena's getting married on Sunday. Go with me to the wedding, he says.
I look at the ground. I can't have my friends know about us, or my parents.
I won't tell them.
What about people at the wedding? They'll all see us together.
Nobody from school will be there, except for my family, and I'll make sure they keep their mouths shut.
I can't. Lying and sneaking around has never been my strong point. I push him away. I can't think when you're standing that close.
Good. Now about that wedding.
God, looking at him makes me want to go. What time?
Noon. It'll be an experience you won't forget. Trust me. I'll pick you up at 11.
I didn't say yes yet.
Ah, but you were about to, he says in his dark, smooth voice.
Why don't I meet you here at 11? I suggest, gesturing to the body shop.
If my mom finds out about us, all hell will break loose. He lifts my chin up to face him.
Why aren't you afraid of being with me?
Are you kidding? I'm terrified.